You're listening to the Eddie Out Podcast. Current conversations with our community and their connections to the river. Hosted by Natalie Zollinger. Welcome. Spring is among us and so is boating season here in the Southwest. I myself am gearing up for a commercial trip down the Grand Fucking Canyon. I recently started working for a company called Canyons Exploration, or CanEx, and I'm super stoked to be doing some trips for them this year. But no worries, friends. I've set up these episodes to continue dropping each and every Thursday, whether I'm on the river or not. You can count on me for good stories, lots of laughs, and hopefully some insight and inspiration from our featured guests. This podcast has been one of the best things I've ever done. It's been so rewarding catching up with old river friends and sharing their stories with you. And if you've been here since our first episode, yeah, like 5 months ago, you've probably noticed some changes, and hopefully for the better. I know I can laugh a little too much, talk really fast, stutter over my words, and maybe even repeat myself from time to time, but I hope you're finding value in these conversations. I know I am, and I'm super grateful for all of your support since we launched the show. Please, if you have any feedback for me, both positive or constructive, feel free to send me a DM on social media or a direct email to eddieoutpodcast@gmail.com. All of the guests so far have been major influencers or mentors in my life, but I know there are so many more of you that I want to hear from. So if you have any suggestions on guests you want to hear from, or you yourself would like to come on the show, feel free to reach out to me as well. I want your voices heard and your stories to be told. So thanks again for joining me on this journey. It's been a hell of a ride so far. Now, on to the show. With all of this talk about the Grand Canyon, I wanted to get my good friend and fellow Moabite, Jay Healy, on the show. From running motorboats and rowing dories in the Grand Canyon, to driving New Zealand-style jet boats here in Moab, Utah, Jay is a guide of all trades. I wanted to get him on the podcast as a tribute to him and his many accomplishments both on and off the water. In this episode, we talk about Jay's story, his early guiding career, how he worked up the chain into becoming a Grand Canyon River Guide, and what he's up to now. Jay wrote a beautiful post on social media exactly 1 month ago that inspired me to get him on the show. Since I'll be launching on my first trip soon, I thought I'd highlight him and his beautiful words to help get you all excited about the season. Here are his words. I'm starting to have dreams of lava, the unmatched intensity of focus. It's only been 18 months, and I think I finally got all the silt off my body. But some has found its way into the fabric of my subconscious. I have counted the trips along the way, but that's not what propels me. It's the call to be embraced by the depths, to hear the deafening silence, to feel the elements again, to not only go inside for months on end, but to be dirty, and mostly to submerge myself into reality. Soon, my old friend. Hashtag always above. Unless you're below. Lava, that is. All right, friends, and without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the conversation with Jay Healy. All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we have the pleasure to Eddie Out with Mr. Jay Healy. Jay, welcome to the show. I'm really stoked to have you here.
Good morning, Natalie. Yeah, stoked to be here.
Yeah, we're sitting here at your house outside. We're looking at the beautiful LaSalle Mountains, and your yard is beautiful. Spring is here, and
yeah, birds are singing.
Birds are singing. And you just recently moved here.
Yeah, lucky to be here in Moab. Trying to enjoy the beautiful weather we have here. Supposed to be record heat here for Easter.
Oh, shit.
Don't forget, it's Jeep Safari.
Yeah, so as we're talking, we may have some Jeeps in the background, and not apologize, basically, for it. Keeps our town fueled, but yeah, it's a bittersweet for most of us.
That's for sure. Can't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, but yeah, I met you this year. I've heard of you for a long time. Got to really... get to know you this year, and during the pandemic, you got to stay at our house, and it was cool to get to know you and your partner Rose, and just a lot about your background. And
yeah, it's definitely been a long, interesting year from last St. Patty's Day till now. It's been quite the journey, so to speak.
Yeah, I remember getting mail and like disinfecting our our Amazon and Costco boxes.
Right? Yeah.
Beginnings. That was crazy. Jeez. But you guys got to move into your own house and possibly, fingers crossed.
Things worked out or are working out. So we're trying to move forward. Fingers crossed everything works out. But yeah, we started sending out the good vibes and here we are trying to make it happen. You know, I've been guiding in the area for the last 25 years. So in and out of Moab. And of course, a bunch of my friends have settled here and have been encouraging me to do so for a decade or two now. So I finally bit and pulled the trigger and got out of Montana and headed south, you know. I really enjoyed the snow and the seasons up in Montana, but when you don't have to shovel snow, then, you know, I consider that a win. So totally. Going to travel to winter and live in summer.
Hell yeah.
Which is a better thing to do. But yeah, I grew up in Montana, spent a lot of time outdoors there.
What part of Montana?
So I was born in Billings, which is on the east side, and then we lived there for a while, and then was active in the Boy Scouts and spent weekends camping out in and around down to Yellowstone, you name it, Lewis and Clark Caverns, all that good stuff. And then of course my dad would take me out fishing at least once a year up to Mystic Lake, and we had a blast. And so then spent the last few years up there in the Flathead Valley. Basically doing the ski bum thing, hanging out and getting my 100 days in and doing all that sort of stuff. But, you know, transitioning out of Montana has been kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, switching it up, not having to deal with the harsh winters and, you know, not being able to go anywhere last winter. It was nice to not have to be stuck someplace that's cloudy and snowy all the time.
Yeah, we were lucky in that sense. Jay, do you have any siblings?
I got a younger sister. She's still in Montana, living in Bos Angeles, if you will.
Bos Angeles?
Yep.
Really?
No longer
Bozeman, Los Angeles?
Well, you know, now it's Bozeman and Belgrade are fused together. I mean, it's definitely not what it was. Bad kitty.
Oh, yeah, we've got a little kitty in the background. Where is she?
She's in the corner over there.
Oh, underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
Black Panther.
So, yeah, she still lives up there. Got two wonderful nephews. We hang out, try to go skiing with them and dirt biking and hanging out. It's a blast to watch those guys get to grow up.
Yeah.
So fast.
It's you're like the, or Rose would say, you're just like the coolest uncle ever.
Oh, yeah. They think so. They think so for sure.
And then how did you find the river? What was that like?
Well, so my buddy Scott Solly.
Oh, yeah.
Moved out and came down here to be a mountain biker or something like that. And then he found the river and called me up and said I had to come check it out. So
how do you and Scott know each other?
We went to high school together.
Oh, so, what?
So, yeah, and then we palled around in college. And then once he figured out college was a, you know.
Scam?
Well, you know, there's better ways to get an education than to pay somebody to tell you you're having too good a time. So he came down here and started guiding, and then I basically paved the way for me, did a lot of the groundwork as far as learning the Moab. But he invited me down and did my first multi-day cat trip there back in, geez, I guess that was 95.
Oh, no way. Okay.
And so we did a cat trip. It was, you know, best time I've ever had, because you don't really need to take your sandals or shorts off, and you don't have to worry about getting cold or anything like that. So
yeah, really lucky. What company was that for?
That was just a private trip.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And then basically after that cat trip, the hook was set, and went and took a first aid class and prepared myself to enter into coming down to Moab for the summer. But Soul Gear shamed me into it with one of the more famous quotes I've ever had over the phone with, you know, what are you going to do? Go home and live in your parents' basement?
Oh!
And you know, I mean, somebody saw the writing on the wall, but I didn't really appreciate that. So of course, I had to move to Moab. And so the first summer I spent down here was in 96.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I had was a rent-a-guide, and you know, I got to give a shout out to Yasny Sport Adventures.
What?
And Timbo Angus. Rest in pieces.
Aww.
But Yeah, so everybody in town, you know, I just kind of showed up, had no river guiding experience and wanted to be a river guide. And there was one guy in town, Timbo, who was offering guide training. And dare I say, he was an ex-ranger who had a pretty militant style of boating. And he was also a paraplegic.
Oh.
So he was definitely an interesting fellow to have be your mentor. And of course, you know, with his paraplegic, he had all sorts of other problems and you name it. But he was a pretty cool guy with a bunch of boats and was willing to share the information. And so I spent the first month or so here in Moab training exclusively at You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
What?
Yep.
That was a company?
Oh, yeah.
You
Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
You have, like, given me four or five names that I've never...
Yeah, well, you wanted to go there. You want to talk about molding and shaping.
Wow. And what was the, like, what was the concept of this company?
So this was just a non-profit. This was a guy, so Timbo, since he was an Army Ranger, he was hurt.
Oh, Yasny! You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
So he was hurt in the military and was discharged with full medical bennies. And he was an ex-holiday river guide.
Okay.
But, you know, he was one of these guys that couldn't really use his legs, but he could do everything anybody else could. And if you told him he couldn't do it, he would do it just to prove you wrong.
Like so, most other guides.
Yeah. So when that's the guy, you know, you're following in the footsteps of, it's pretty interesting. But, you know, he always wanted to show up and be smoother and faster than all the commercial companies, which, you know, when you're running it like a small military operation, yeah, you can do that, which was, you know, pretty good. I mean, it definitely structure, having good times and getting out there. And, you know, he had the boats and the equipment and the truck and the funding and was willing to take people boating.
That's awesome.
And so we would often just roll into the hostel and grab whoever was hanging out there and have them come with us. And it was, dare I say, a lot of fun. You know,
with his military background, do you also do motors or is it all road trips?
No, he never really got into the motors. He was still of the triple rig.
Oh, you know,
was just barely evolving past the triple rig.
Well, ex-holiday, right? That would be.
So, you know, I mean, that's the only way to run big water is to tie all your boats together and hope. Which, I don't know, you know. Again, we can go, Ken Slight's another triple rigger, too.
Yeah, but real quick, like, so did you actually row the triple rigs?
No, thank goodness. I definitely saw enough of them while we were running.
But he didn't want that.
No.
Part of Yasny.
He was set up to, but the water never worked out for him.
Okay.
I don't know why we never did, but apparently we got good at rowing and just would go by ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of west water, it was a lot of dailies. You know, he didn't like to do too many overnight trips because of his condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, needed to be at home and comfortable drinking Coca-Cola.
How long did you work there?
Well, that was just that first summer.
Okay.
But, you know, we kept in touch on and off for the next, whatever, decade or so. But the next 2-3 years while I was in town, you know, hung out with him a whole bunch and would go boating every opportunity, you know, much like now where you're just a glutton for punishment.
What, where did you go after that? What company?
And then from there, I got picked up, so Tim
picked up.
Well, okay, so yeah, so we can keep going about Timbo here. So Timbo basically that first summer act as a raft guide pimp.
Oh,
so okay. He had basically
RGP.
So he had trained a squadron of raft guides, and that in the late 90s, you know, basically river guide training was you jumped on the boat and rowed down the river 3 times with somebody, and then you were magically a river guide. And, you know, you'd go get your state-issued license and all that BS. But, you know, there was no training. There was no knot tying. There was no nothing. I mean, you needed basic first aid, which was, you know, ABCs and...
1-2-3s.
1-2-3s, yeah, exactly. So he had trained a bunch of, you know, a bunch of guys like myself, you know, a handful of us. And people knew that he had river guides hanging out that could show up and do a good job and make it happen. And so they'd call him and he would tell them that we weren't working for the bare minimum of whatever $30 for a half day or whatever it's would demand that he that his guides were trained and knew what they were doing and got 60 no matter what they did. And it worked out pretty good, you know. So stayed busy just hanging out, you know. I mean, pre-cell phone, just hanging out, waiting to go boating. Worked out pretty good.
Yeah. And so you were pimped out to all the other companies.
Yeah, and then by the end of the summer, had started doing, got up, picked up full-time by Tag Along. Another rest in peace. So I'd gotten picked up by Tag Along and finished off the last, you know, month of back-to-back rowing against 800 or 1200. I don't know how low it got back in those days. But it seems like our baseline now is about that 1800 to 2000. So couldn't have been too bad.
Yeah. And you talked about like Timbo was kind of a mentor to you.
Yeah.
When with you learning from him and then doing all these rent-a-guides, did you get any sort of like compliments like, wow, you're like you stood out because you were trained by Timbo?
Well, yeah.
Or was it like, oh shit, you're part of Timbo? Well, okay, here are three things you need to know.
Well, yeah, you definitely had a little bit of an edge because you knew that you should be doing something rather than standing and staring and watching everybody else do it. So, you know, it's just the basic routine of, see something simple, do it. Just keep doing something. And, you know, you'll develop that work ethic and, you know, it's not hard to work circles around people that don't know what they're doing. And so, you know, just that step up of knowing, okay, the boats are going to get stacked. The boats are going to get tied down. You know, just the process of de-rigging a trip or rigging a trip. You know, I'm not to say that we didn't forget frames once or twice or, you know, I mean, who hasn't forgotten something every time?
Oh yeah, it wouldn't be a river trip unless you
I guess that's why I still have to keep going, is I've never gotten it right, so keep pushing forward.
So like one what I'm hearing days. Is just spatial awareness, also knowing like being two steps ahead, and you know, so making a good trip leader too,
just,
right?
Well, you know, so just knowing the pieces of the puzzle and being able to put the puzzle together. So and then he was always pushing, you know, guide speed, do it. You know, don't just walk, just hustle. Let's go. Come on. The faster we get this done, the faster we're on the water and the more we're having fun. So
when you said guide speed, I heard Godspeed.
Yeah, Godspeed. Like, well, it's, I mean, you know, there are those river gods out there.
Godspeed.
So Godspeed to some people.
To something.
So yeah, awesome. So then Tag Along, and then I thought I was working at Tag Along the next summer. But then was informed that I wasn't invited back for some reason, probably because of dehydration and French people, but you know, whatever. Things worked out good. So that next summer, you know,
I think that should be a sticker. Dehydration and French people.
Right? Exactly.
Shout out to French people.
Yeah.
Love y'all.
Yeah.
Go on.
So I was informed I wasn't coming back to Tag Along after I had moved down here. And essentially ended up living with one of the ARE, Adventure River Expedition.
Oh, ARE, okay.
Yeah, the manager, this guy named Chandler. And
some good names back then.
Right? And so he was managing ARE, and they were doing some high water triple rig trips there in the summer of 97. And so I was trying to get on as a swampy, as an extra, as a bailer, whatever, for some of these high water trips, and was conveniently hanging out in Green River when Bob Quist shows up and needs a daily guide over Memorial Day weekend for the Green River to run from Nefertiti down. And of course, I think I had done that stretch maybe once, and everybody assured me I was qualified. And I had a license and the first aid and all that stuff. And so Bob ended up inviting me over to the office, which is his little hogan at Fort Bob there in Green River. In Green River, a.k.a. Grim Liver.
Grim Liver, man. Dude, you are
Well, you know, population 800 with several water towers and not much else to do besides go boating.
Yes.
Not to mention, you know, explore all of the greaters southwest here of Utah. But anyway, Bob invites me over, and to do this daily trip, and he talks about maybe getting me some Desso trips later. And of course, I still hadn't seen Desso. I'd seen Cat and Westwater and the Moab Daily, and so he was talking about getting me a training trip up in Desso. And so the Memorial Day trip cancels because it rains, and the Manco Shale is too slick to drive over, so you gotta basically cancel the trip, and I end up doing a Desso for him, where Hippy Dippy Paul buys some beer on the company dime.
Hippy Dippy.
And ends up getting fired because he put beer on the company purchase.
Oh, shit.
Because we used to always go up to Price and shop for food. And for some reason, Paul justified that he brought some really good bread from Salt Lake that Bob could buy him some beer for the river trip. And so if you ever met Bob Quist, he's not one to forgive or forget. But sometimes he forgets why he doesn't like you, but he just knows he doesn't like you. And so Bob had 5 days to stew over this beer purchase. And essentially, Paul was scheduled to work almost a full season of Desso's for Bob later that summer. And Bob fired him and hired me and paid me for the trip after that to bait me into moving to Grim River. He provided room and board for the summer.
That's a big deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, now here in Moab, I mean, that'd be a guy giving you $1,000 a month.
Totally.
Just right off the top. And so they had a crew house there in Green River, which, may have been the scene of some monkey wrenching activities there and some poker games between Ed Abbey, Ken Slight, and the Quist brothers.
Aww. Yeah, because Bob Quist, a.k.a. Hey Duke, right?
Well, you know, really sure who Hey Duke is, okay. but we know that Ed Abbey and the Quist brothers definitely shared some time together.
Cool.
The Southwest, so that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. And so, gosh, Hippy Dippy Paul buying the beer on the company card was like a sliding door moment for you.
Yeah.
He was just like, did you hear music? Were there angels there?
I didn't know.
Right place, right time.
So yeah, so then the next thing you know is I'm swamping Cataract at, like 80,000.
So is this 98 or 97 still?
This is 97.
Okay.
So this is like, June 97.
Ooh.
And so I get to do a 3-day Cataract trip at high water. And, this was a motor trip. So we're driving the S rigs. I'm just swamping and riding along. And I tell you what, an S rig in Cataract Canyon at 70,000, if that doesn't blow your hair back, I don't know. You've had led a better life than me.
Did you have long hair back then?
Well, of course, yeah. Still didn't have much, but freaking tried. I tried, yeah. Wore the visor, burnt the heck out of the part all day, every day.
Totally.
having people asking me if that hurts, and it's like, what? And your purple head, you can't feel that up there? And it's like, oh, okay, well.
That's awesome.
The joys of youth.
Yeah.
The joys of
youth. Real quick, what was his company called? Bob Quist.
Moki Mac River Expedition.
Okay, so just for people that don't know anything about Bob and this area, so Moki Mac. Hopefully you've heard of that. If not, I'll put that in the show notes, everyone.
Yeah, so Moki Mac River Expeditions. Yeah, so I went to work for Bob there. Living in Green River in the crew house, and the next thing I know, I end up doing High Water Cat, and then pounding out, five-day Desso's in a row, just going back and forth to Price and out to Sands Wash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, the mosquito capital of the world. I've been to Alaska, and I ain't never seen anything like freaking Sand Wash.
Yep.
So live through that. I mean, if nonstop mosquitoes can't deter you from becoming a river guide, I got a spot for you.
The French, and then after that,
you're French people and some mosquitoes. We got some low water. Oh, you're going to love it.
So how was it going from, rowing to all of a sudden being given a motor, and not only a motor, but not given a motor, but just the opportunity to motor, and not only just like a little boat, but an S-rig. Those are the biggest boats.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden. Yeah. Again, these are worlds that I didn't know existed until I left Montana, yeah, so to speak.
You right.
know? And then, you know, and so then at the end of 97, then Moki Mac is like, oh, P.S., we have Grand Canyon trips and we save a baggage boat for you guys at the end of the summer. You want to go? And it's like, well, I'm kind of going to college. And of course, they're like, well, you know, you, whatever. If you want to do this trip, you should, you could. And so then, yeah, even more bait dangled in front of me. And so then the next thing you know is I'm on a baggage boat in Grand Canyon, which a little different than it was then. Back in my day, you had to row your own boat that was overloaded and bail it out. So, you know, so you didn't have to worry too much about being unstable. You just had to worry about your boat being so heavy you couldn't do a dang thing about it.
So with the Moki Mac, were the, you said the Quist brothers, did one brother run Green River and one brother
Oh, yeah, that was the only way they could get along. Was oh, right. 300-400 miles of separation.
So Bob, and then who was south, the
Claire.
Other brother? Claire?
Claire Quist.
Oh, yeah. That's my dad's name. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So, who was older?
Claire.
Okay.
And then Richard.
So he got the Grand Canyon.
Yep. It was... And Richard is the oldest.
And then and Bob... then there's another one. Okay, yep. Richard.
And then Bob never liked Grand Canyon. It was whatever, too sandy and too long or something.
Too like sandy? Says who no knows? One ever, but Bob.
Who knows? Says a few people.
Okay.
But yeah, exactly. I don't know why. Yeah. Bob couldn't figure out why anybody would want to go to Grand Canyon. And,
wow.
And
got
I don't
some
know.
Sort of goggles on.
So yeah, so it took me 4 or 5 years of trying to get fired in Green River to finally admit that I wanted to work in Grand Canyon, or get Bob to let me go work in Grand Canyon.
Right.
Because, you know,
the blessing.
Bob, right. Because Claire was always accused of stealing Bob's best guides. And of course, once you go down Grand Canyon and compare it to the mosquito-ridden, low-water hell of Desolation Canyon, you probably would rather be in Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Truth be told.
Where did Richard live, and what was his?
Richard was ran the office up in Salt Lake.
Oh, okay, got it.
And so he did all the bookings with the sister Annie. Who,
oh, and then there was a sister. Well, cool.
Yep. And so I'm not going to be ashamed to say that Annie was the true brains of the operation.
Oh, totally. And, behind every three brothers is a sister.
Yeah, and. They begged her to come save them from paperwork, accounting, and booking trips. And
okay. Was that it for the family?
Yeah. Well, they were from a Mormon family. There's a couple more sisters and whatnot that came in and out.
Gotcha.
Doing river trips through those guys, you know, 50, 60 person Mormon daily trips for the schools and all that stuff, which was a lot of fun, you know.
What was something, like, because you got to know Bob, you said a couple years until you got to have his blessing to go down south.
To get fired.
What was something admirable about Bob that you were like, you know, you're this and this, but you're really this.
Well.
And you're a good guy.
You know, Bob was, and probably still is, it's been a year or two since I've talked to him, but no, Bob and the Quist family have always been some of the nicest people ever.
Yeah.
Give you the shirt off their back.
Because they're Mormon.
Know. Right? Well, he'd, you know, he'd grumble about it, but I tell you what, he'd definitely come through for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that, being Mormon. You're just all about your community and supporting and service.
And if you ever get a chance to sit down with Bob Quist and have a cocktail, of course, he had the classic giant Mormon mug full of vodka and grapefruit.
Really?
But the guy...
The salty Bob?
Oh, the salty Bob. And the guy is one of the best storytellers
really?
On the planet.
Really? Can you help facilitate a conversation?
Maybe. There? We'll maybe? See. He's pretty standoffish and crotchety, but, you know...
What if it was with you and Bob?
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, the BQR has been trying to interview these guys for a while, and they're pretty standoffish about any sort of public appearancing.
Cool. Well, maybe my Mormon roots will help
but,
get me in.
Yeah,
Mormon, not Mormon roots, right?
But, so Bob was a heck of a storyteller, and he could weave a tale for days, if not years, and go into some details that you never knew would come up in a casual conversation, but... The segueing of all these early tales of Grand Canyon crashing and burning and the bad old days of Grand Canyon and the bad old days of river guiding of, you know, drinking beer all day and whiskey all night and Irish cream in the morning.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And just, you know, getting her done.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, evolution of the process, you know. that takes more out of a person than just being a river guide. So,
well, Jay, I just want to like commend you because I feel like you got that. You are one of the best storytellers, and you know, and not only just telling a story, but you keep people captivated. And well, that's one thing I was like, who's this fucking guy? I've heard stories and now I get to experience the greatness.
Yeah.
But you do. You're really good. And yeah. I always wish I could tell a story like you.
Yeah. And my dad also helps tell
a pretty good story. Oh, does he? Okay. Heard.
You know. And then, of course, at Mokey Mac, there was always the quote of saying, never ruin a good story with too much of the truth.
I like that.
Yeah. The bad old days. So, yeah. So that was the late 90s. They're getting established at Mokey Mac, doing Cataract Canyon, learning how to motor, Deso, Westwater, and just grinding it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Going to school, trying to get my degree, taking a semester off to do two Grand Canyon trips, the second one being a private trip where I got to go down with Timbo.
Cool.
And, of course, Timbo and Bob were two totally different people. So it was pretty interesting.
What did you graduate in?
And then I got a BS in biology.
Oh, no way. Cool. So, BS.
Yeah. Shout out to the BSers out there.
And then what was the year that you actually did a full season down in the Grand?
And then my first real full season in Grand Canyon was 2009.
Okay. Oh, so you dabbled back and forth.
So I dabbled like back years. And forth.
Okay.
And
because Bob wouldn't let you go, or you well, in your heart?
It was the transition, man. It's, you know, Bob could, you know, Mokey Mac was the second smallest operation in Grand Canyon. And up here in Utah, it was pretty small. You know, it was a crew of usually 3 to 5 people. And, you know, you're just working all day, every day for all summer. And, you know, and that's the way you've made money and you got to stay on the water, which is definitely a nicer place to be than Green River.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I still know the guys that are working at Ray's, so that's pretty interesting.
Right. Ray's is a burger shop in Green River. It's like the infamous. If you're in that area, you always got to go to Ray's to get a burger. What was your favorite thing there?
Well, you know, the double chops.
What was that?
The double pork chop meal.
Oh, okay.
Get Arturo to cook you up some real good chops. You know, I'm pretty sure that you can still get that. And then there's, you know, custom fries.
Good fries.
Always a good time.
Yeah. So that dabbling back and forth, like, how was that? Dividing your time and...
It was good,
and you know. Because you were also still going up to Montana. So well, you were making some miles in your car. Yeah,
so, you know, I mean, we could... Talk about hashtag van life.
You're cool before it was cool.
You know.
Did you actually have a van?
No.
Okay.
I had
truck life?
No, I had a 1988 Crown Victoria station wagon. Yeah. And that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
We can go into that. So essentially, 2008, I went up to Alaska. And
who invited you up there?
Well, again, Soul Gear.
Soul Gear. Wow.
So since I couldn't go work full-time in Grand Canyon, graduated from college in December 99, and then essentially moved to Alta and really committed to the ski bumming, there being a lifty.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was, you know, transient between Alta and Green River for the better part of 5 years, which was pretty nice because, all the guys I worked with at Mokey Mac were Salt Lake kids.
Right.
Who'd grown up skiing and were like, oh, you're a skier. Well, what, you've never skied Utah? And it's like, nah, I just drive by that shit. What? It's like, yeah, we got skiing in Montana. I don't need to come to Utah. And then, again, more bait. So there I am, taking the bait, moving to Alta, and getting the baddest old days of Alta. You know, fixed grip lifts, slow speed, powder all day, every day. You know, 120 days of skiing, no problem, getting paid for powder, country club, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So then it was just bouncing between Salt Lake and Green River and Canyon Country. And then there in the mid-2000s, Soul Gear got me into teaching Swiftwater and Whitewater Rescue up there in the spring in Alaska.
In Alaska. So real quick, for those, I'll put the Soul Gear in the show notes, but he... One-liner. Who's Solgear?
Solgear.
Solgear.
The gear.
The gear.
He's Moab Rescue Technologies. Yeah.
Yeah. So straps, bags.
Mesh and mesh byproducts.
There you go.
Is the catchphrase.
Definitely check it out in the show notes. He's got great stuff. We all have Solgear. All of our boats are outfitted with Solgears.
Yeah. So he got me into going up to Alaska with him in the springtime to teach Swiftwater and White Rotter Rescue, which, you know, again, these are the wrong time of year to go places. So we'd go up there, teach Swiftwater, then come back, do some Grand Canyon trips, do some trips for Bob, and then just kind of bounce around. And then met all the guys up there at Denali Raft Adventures.
Oh, so that's where that comes in.
And DRA.
DRA, yeah.
And then that's what a lot of the Moab guys were doing too. The Borshevsky, or Polly Borshevsky, was up there. And then another bunch of Salt Lake guys were running
Johnny Hill.
Yep. Denali Outdoor Center.
Okay.
And so it was just kind of this common thread that led to a summer up in Alaska.
Okay. So that's kind of how all of you met. I was wondering.
And so, yeah, there's kind of this roundabout way, but, you know, the Salt Lake community was pretty small. And needless to say, the Cottonwood Canyon community is even smaller. So, you know, it's just kind of how everybody was bouncing at that time. And, you know, I mean, you're in your late 20s and footloose, fancy free, you know, trying to follow your passions. And, you know, when your parents tell you you could be whatever you want when you grow up, and then you debate the grow up question, is kind of where I've been at for the last 20 some years. So.
Still in that process.
Still in the process of growing up. Still don't want to do it, but, you know, keep jumping through the hoops. So 2008 and then 2009 got on full, you know, finally severed all ties with Bob because I spent the summer up in Alaska and then came back at the end of that summer and then pounded out like 3 or 4 Grand Canyon rowing trips in a row and solidified my spot on the roster for Moki Mac and Grand Canyon.
God, eight or 9 years of like really push. I mean, they talk about that down there. Like, no, you got to earn your way. Like, that's 9 years earning your way.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, right, I mean, these are, you know, Timbo had me sit down with Rod Nash one day at the old jailhouse and have breakfast. And Rod Nash was talking about how Grand Canyon guides are long in the tooth, and there's a reason for that. And I always wondered what that reason was. And, well, I know.
What is it?
I know. Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
It's Grand Canyon, man. I hate to say it, but it's easy money, and it's one of the best lifestyles you can have.
Yeah, long trips.
My opinion.
That rig, de-rig.
Yeah, long trips, all season long. Mm-hmm. Dare I say there's, you know, only killed a handful of mosquitoes in my time down there. Probably some.
That's true.
Some of that time I was probably even asking for it. But so it was kind of all these crazy facilitations of, you know, ending up down in Grand Canyon. And then from 2009 until last year, I spent every day I could down there. And
wow, luckily,
and luckily
years.
Moki Mac was obliging and would let me do some god-awful number of trips. I think my record one year, I think I did 14 Grand Canyon trips.
Holy shit, and that's all motor or motor plus
That was a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, start with the guide training trip and then just bounce and bounce and bounce. And yeah, it wasn't uncommon to pound out, you know, 100 days straight of guiding, which, like you're saying, you know, you're only rigging and cleaning up once or twice a month.
Yeah, right. And that takes a toll on the body.
Yeah, that's the work.
Yeah.
That's the work, is getting the trip ready, you know. That and unloading the boats and rigging every morning.
So you spent like a good, I mean, from 95 to 2008, kind of here, well, dabbling back Grand Canyon in here and then a little bit up in Alaska. What river or section are you most proud of on your resume?
That's pretty easy. I don't know. We Solgear and I went out to West Virginia and
that's right.
Kind of round two, the good old days trip, I guess. No, so we went back out there, 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago.
But
now,
you guys would go back a lot, right?
We've only gone twice.
Oh, okay.
And
during Gully Fest.
So the first time was 30 when we were right around the or was 2008, so 2008 and 2018.
Mm.
And
oh,
so
wow.
I went to Gali with Soul Gear 2008, and yeah, wow. Wow, again.
Yeah, who'd you work for over there?
Well, I didn't work for anybody, but I associated with Mountain River Tours.
Okay.
Which is now part of the greater Class 6 consolidation, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there and hung out in the, you know, one of the guide encampments of West Virginia in the hopes of working. But luckily, I just got to play for the better part of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a lot of Grand Canyon guides never leave Grand Canyon for some reason, which, you know, I can't blame them, but it's not real good for your whitewater skills.
Yeah,
to never venture out and run some bigger, gnarlier stuff. And I'll tell you what, you know, the Gali in West Virginia will definitely teach you a few things about who you are, who you ain't.
Yeah, what did you find out?
Well, I found out that I don't like swimming at all.
Check.
And, you know, I mean, it is possible to do it on no rest and giving her hell for the better part of 4 days than resting for 3 days. And again, you know, a younger man could go harder.
Mm-hmm.
not exactly.
Hence the 10 years between.
Yeah, since the 10 years between trips out there was, I saw enough the first time to know I wasn't cut from the same cloth.
But, yeah, there's
so
a definitely
upper
difference.
Gali, and then, of course, we lucked out and got to run the upper Yakahani both times.
Cool.
And good story about the first time running the upper Yakahani is that we forgot the thwarts for our paddle boat.
Oh.
And so we're tying in Paco pads inside Soul Gear rig bags to tie in for thwarts. And we've got good old boys coming up to us at the put-in saying, y'all know this is class 5, right? And of course, we're like, yeah, we know it. We probably shouldn't be here, but we are. So get over it.
And how was those runs?
Pretty good. Here's a shout out to Glenn Goodrich for taking care of us a few times there at, I believe it's Cheeseburger Falls. We got to drop the ledge and not run the gnarliest part, thanks to some signaling. But no, we paddled real good that day. We probably the most sober we were the whole trip. But definitely got her done. And then, of course, we went back and paddled it again 10 years later. And we made it through alive, you know. Pretty
older
entertaining.
And wiser.
Yeah, older and wiser. Lucked out and had my first dry flip, which was pretty entertaining considering the upper yak is kind of civvy and definitely rocky and technical, and you can't see more than a quarter mile in front of you at any given time.
Oh, no.
So that was definitely one of the better technical stretches of whitewater I've run.
Yeah. You know,
I've got a bigger list, I think, of things that I haven't done that I really want to do, but slowly.
Yeah.
But those are probably two of the definite funnest one. And then while I was up in Alaska, Soul Gear and I got to run 6 mile.
Yeah, I've heard
of this. Is a pretty cool slot canyon technical. And of course, you know, we show up being the instructors and they take us down there at basically levels that were too high for passengers. And that was pretty awesome. You know, we didn't flip until the takeout. So felt pretty good about that.
Yeah.
As well.
You've seen a lot.
But, you know, I think, you know, as far as my biggest accomplishment is, you know, Grand Canyon.
Well, yeah. I mean,
157 trips.
157.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was shooting for 200 by the time I was 50, but COVID.
Yeah.
Asterix.
Right. Because you didn't do any last year.
Right. Yeah. First year of not doing really any multi-day river trips, minus, you know, a couple of overnight cataracts, but those are more just a long daily, it seems like.
Yeah.
Especially in the motorboats, you know, you're just flying all day, 2 days in a row.
Yeah. So Grand Canyon, so Mokemak was bought by Azra, right?
Yeah.
What year was
that? Yeah, that was 12.
2012. So you're kind of doing trips for them as well.
Yeah. So then luckily with them taking over Moki's permit, they needed extra hands to fill the quota. And yeah, it was.
So where did Claire go?
Claire, he's still on the schedule.
Oh, really? So he just wanted to be a guide again.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier to not be the owner.
Yeah.
A lot less liability. Well, you know how that works now. I mean, these days, the pressure to maintain your whatever good standing on Yelp and the whole nine yards. And of course, these guys are always battling for their concession permits, and they still don't have a contract, and they're not locked up for any time, which is kind of sad when you're trying to run a multi-million dollar business that you don't really have any guarantees your permit.
And what about up here, like in Green River?
Up here, they sold it to Oars. Bob retired.
The same year?
Yeah.
Okay.
But essentially, Bob had retired several years before and just basically... They stopped booking trips in Green River. Or they weren't selling trips. You could force them to outfit a trip, but they weren't actively selling. And then, of course, you know, until 2008, Grand Canyon was a wait-in-line business of great proportion, which, you know, it bounced back real good. And by 2012, you know, everybody was waiting again.
Right. So is Bob in Green River?
Yeah, Bob's still in Green River. He bought a motorhome.
Oh, nice.
Still living at Fort Bob. His wife was a school teacher there in town, Barbara.
Nice.
And, yeah, they've been traveling. They went to Nova Scotia and Alaska, just driving the motorhome around.
So
living the dream.
For those that are wanting, guides that want to get down into the Grand Canyon, what advice do you have for them? What are things that they should consider? And what are things that they should do and not do?
Well,
right? If you can keep it simple.
Well, you know, usually I got a lot of advice for the young guides there sometime during the river trip about paying attention.
Mm.
But, you know, I guess the biggest things that I would say is, you know, you got to take care of yourself. And if you don't take care of yourself, it's tough for, you know, people to take you seriously when when your face is purple, it's pretty tough to tell somebody else to put sunscreen on, you know. So you got to take care of yourself first and foremost. And, you know, durability is definitely an issue when it comes to the amount of heavy lifting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A big dumb ape can row a boat, according to Bob Quist. So... You got it helps.
Big dumb ape.
Yep.
George Went would just say monkeys.
Yeah, boats, well, exactly.
But Bob's got a different approach.
Exactly. So you got, you know, if you're gonna be dumb, you got to be tough.
Mm.
So, you know, you just got to look out. I mean, I can tell you, I was lifting, carrying boats when I was young and doing all sorts of unaided, unassisted lifting of heavy things. And maybe I'm paying the price for it now. So, you know, that early bravado gets in the way a lot of times. So, you know, you got to work as a team and try to make it so that you can last the long haul, you know. As we all know, professional athletes are only one injury away from a career. And, you know, you'd hate for it to be yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
When you're relying on, you know, rowing against the wind and all that stuff and hiking and that as being your job, you know, you got to be able to do it, you know, and it sucks to not be able to participate in those things on the trip as well, because you're, you know, that's why you're there, is to go do the thing.
Yeah. Well, 25 years of guiding, like, what's been the biggest challenge you've overcome or seen yourself as a guide?
I guess chemical dependency, you know, it's pretty easy to get into that, the routine.
Mm-hmm.
Of
what is that routine for those that don't know?
Well, you know, beer all day and whiskey when you get to camp.
And then Irish cream. It's like nothing changed. And then Irish cream in the morning,
you know. Hey. So, yeah, you know, you got to break it up. And, you know, we talk about culture shifts and that, you know, sitting around and, you know, the partying, you know, it's tough. It's tough to say no and withdraw yourself from that and not have a good time.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how it works out. You always have a good time, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't start in the Grand Canyon. You started here.
Yeah.
What's something that kind of like when you went from Yasny to different companies, was there anything, a compliment that you were given from someone who only was in the Grand Canyon? Like, wow, Jay, you're really this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think compliments are kind of hard to come by. But no, I can row a boat pretty good.
Right.
Row against the wind. And, you know, that's what, when you, skill appreciates skill. You can't fake it.
Yeah.
You could fake it till you make it, but I'll tell you what, you're going to have to really work hard to keep up with a lot of the guys down there in Grand Canyon, you know, who can make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And because you didn't start in the Grand Canyon, what was one thing you learned about guiding once you went down there? Like, oh shit, I had no idea.
That, you know, that you shouldn't try to bite off the biggest piece of the pie, you know?
And what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's like when I got there, it was, you know, pretty role specific as far as, you know, guys, there's a dinner team, a breakfast guy, and a lunch guy, and then the baggage guy, and the baggage guy is responsible for smashing cans and, you know,
fire pan
and River. Dealing with the crapper and, you know. Just because you like to cook and want to cook doesn't mean it's your turn to cook. So, you know, it's like another one of those, you know, trying to do everything because I can do everything versus doing task-specific kind of appropriations.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to be able to get the job done and everything needs to be done. You know, you leave no trace. You got to clean up everything from the beach and,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody's got to smash the cans. Somebody's got to wash the dishes and... You know, once you do your first couple of single boat motor trips, you really understand how much of a team there is to putting on a river trip.
Yeah.
When it's all you.
25 years of boating, I'm sure you've seen a lot of women come and go, but I'm curious if there's any standout women that you've met, that you've guided with, that have impacted you and the way you see the river.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my mentees.
Yeah?
Yeah, Margot Bestard.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. I haven't really, I've met her, I think, once.
Yeah.
Her name.
Yeah,
she's getting up there.
Right.
And what about her?
And so, no, she's a strong, independent woman who's not dumb nor tough. So, you know, it just shows you that who can get the job done and make it happen. And, you know, that and as well as Connie Tibbetts is another woman. Then Pam Quist, Claire's wife, you know, just gals that don't take any crap from anybody under any circumstances and, you know, and are probably better than you at a lot of things too.
So, yeah. Super humbling.
Yeah. Right. It's like, oh, wow, you're making it look easier than me. That's not fair.
Yeah.
So,
right?
You know, just gals that get it done. And then, of course, Alex Thevenin.
Oh, yeah. You know, of course. She the
owner,
her and Fred.
Yeah, she bought her father out with Fred.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'll put them in the show notes for people.
Generational boater, and, you know, and then, of course, Azra has another bunch of great gals that I've worked with. And, you know, just strong women that get the job done and know what they're doing and still have, you know, feminine flair, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... You know, you don't find that. Right, yeah. It's a tough balance. And, you know, Moki Mac wasn't exactly the friendliest work environment for women just because, you know, it just adds that degree of sexual atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And as we all know that, you know, if you spend 24 hours a day with somebody, you either love them or you hate them. And it kind of goes freaking a long ways on both ends of the spectrum, you know?
Yep.
It's like, we can either get along or not get along, and sometimes you get along too well.
Yeah, right.
So.
What's something that you've learned specifically from a Grand Canyon boat woman that you've taken into your repertoire or into your habits or has helped you for the better? If anything stands out.
Well, Connie Tibbetts makes me have to have a pair of clippers in my can all the time to trim back the trails. But no, just those gals balance between everything.
Balance.
You know?
Yeah.
That the act of being, you know, still trying to maintain being a woman and being in the outdoors and embracing, you know, the dirt and, you know, the lifestyle of not having hot water, not... You know, having all these conveniences
right.
that you get at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to do that time in and time out. And, you know, it's not easy to take care of yourself. Again, back to that same pointers, you know, take care of yourself first. It's really tough when people are relying on you and you're kind of, you know, the slow one or you know, having to deal with your own problems.
They're definitely magnified out there.
Yeah, that downtime. Oh, wow, that downtime. Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. wow, why are my feet the ones that are all bloody and bandaged and everybody else is still charging?
Yeah, you learn a lot about yourself. In the 25 years that you've been guiding, what advice or tips do you wish you would have known earlier in your guiding career? I know, right?
Well, you know, I mean, I may have, another chunk of advice I've said to people, but I have a hard time dealing with my own advice is the loyalty.
Ooh, you know, what do you mean by that?
The loyalty I had to Moki Mac. I mean, like I said, you know, we were worked to death and, you know, being the second smallest outfitter, I would say that we weren't paid very well. For all the work that we were doing. So, you know, I should have gone to Grand Canyon a lot sooner and gotten on with a motor company down there and made a lot more money.
But by staying, what did you earn?
Exactly. I don't know. What did I earn? I got to work with the same crew for, you know, a decade. Mm-hmm. I got to have some great friends and, you know, have more of a family atmosphere where, you know, by the end of that 2012, you know, the five of us on a rowing trip wouldn't have to talk to each other about anything.
Yeah.
As far as work goes, camp goes, all that stuff, it was pretty much seamless as far as the guys getting her done. Mm-hmm. And which is totally opposite at Azra right now, you know. Mm. It's like, wow, you haven't done, you know, hardly any Azra trips, or I don't know you, and you definitely aren't going to know what I'm going to do. Mm. As far as, and then, you know, strengths and balances, you know, all that stuff. So the loyalty was pretty good, you know. I mean, I'm still in touch with a lot of the people that I worked with at Moki Mac, and, you know, but I just could have done better for myself earlier had I got out of there. Now, I mean, seeing the light at Azra, it's pretty straightforward as far as them making a little bit more money and paying me more and having me work less, you know, having that support staff that we didn't have at Moki Mac.
What's a strength that you didn't realize you had growing up that someone pointed out to you once you started guiding?
That's a good one. I don't know, probably that, like you're saying, that storytelling ability, that being able to read an audience and understand who you're dealing with within the first hour or so of talking, you know?
Yeah.
As, you know, one of my best friends in high school was pretty good at that too, you know, just seeing through bullshit right away. Mm-hmm. And when you sit down with people from all walks of life on these trips and, you know, you have to be that leader, you have to be that example where, you know, you can't fall for the racist bait, the sexist bait, all that stuff. You know, you can't open the doors for that sort of thing, you know? And so just being able to understand your audience and being able to steer conversations away from, you know, dare I say, touchy issues or, you know, things that are going to trigger people, snowflakes and Republicans alike, you know, because these people pay a lot of money to come play in our national parks. And, you know, you got to be able to manage the group. And schisms develop, and it is pretty interesting as far as the social group dynamic of 24 strangers together for 8 to 16 days. Again, this love-hate relationship, and, you know, you try to love, but wow, you know, there are some people out there.
Where does your strength of storytelling play out in a river trip? Is it like, hey, Gid J, you're the safety talk?
Yeah.
You're the camp talk. Like, where do you get delegated because, well, you're good at storytelling?
It just, you know, it just sets the tone for everything, you know? I mean, as far as, you know, that sales pitch of, okay, well, we've got, you know, 5 70-year-olds that really want to go on this hike that probably shouldn't. And, you know, how do I set the tone to discourage the people that are having second thoughts about it And on the same note, you know, if those 70 year olds or 80 year olds want to do it, by God, that's what we want them to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the reward, is watching them do the things that they can't or think they can't because you egg them on a little bit. So, you know, it's just that setting the tone and steering people in the direction that you want them to do. You know, it's like, well, if you guys, you know, if you show the crack in the facade and start not having a good time, then it shows them that they cannot have a good time. Mm-hmm. So if you just keep that energy rolling and keep the good times happening, then everybody essentially has to concede to the good time.
And you, I mean, one thing that I would say about you is that you do have a good time. What is it that, what do you do in the behind the scenes to help fuel you for these stories and having energy in these trips? What do you do to take care of yourself?
Throttle therapy.
Yeah. Just go fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah. As you know, it's been getting into the motorboat scene. Mm-hmm. Got a dirt bike, you know, just getting back out there, going and exploring the trails around here in the Moab.
So just getting out.
Getting out, and yeah, you know.
Is this alone or with friends?
Both.
Okay.
Both, you know, you gotta connect and form those relationships and keep those bonds strong, especially now that I am part of the community, which has been really weird here with the COVID, not being able to just hang out and have everybody come and go as they please, mm-hmm. or, you know, see out in the yard and stop in kind of deal, as you know.
So with, I'm just curious, cause I'm about to go on a Grand Canyon trip. What's something that you never, that you always do that you've attributed to the longevity of your career down there, whether it be, I don't even know. Does something come to mind that you're like, I always do this cat cow stretch right before I go to bed, or what's something like physically that has helped you maintain?
Oh yeah. The morning yogi.
Morning yoga.
Yeah.
And how much time and what do you do?
About probably 10 minutes or so. Just, you know,
like wake up on your paco pad and just do it.
Yep.
Right there.
Get up, get rolling, do some paco pad stretching out, you know, try to loosen up the back and whatnot, some downward dog action, some pigeon, you know,
and
hips.
That helps.
Yeah. The hips are probably the weakest link. And then of course, you know, throughout the day, try to stretch it out a little bit, you know, find your own sunny spot and make it happen. But yeah, stretching is probably, you know, another thing that I should do more that I don't do enough of.
Yeah, I think that's a common theme. What's your favorite beer down there? What's just like the drink or cocktail that you're like, like just makes you think Grand Canyon?
Kagwama.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Turtle beers. Shout out to Matt Herman.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, fries and Flagstaff.
I'm going to buy a six pack of that, or a six pack, 12 pack.
I don't know.
And I'll cheers you down there.
Nice. Well, I'll be passing you.
I know, right?
With ice. So maybe I'll bring you some. Maybe I'll bring you
a
couple.
Amazing.
I'll tell you what. My favorite beer down there is the one that I have.
Oh, well said. Yeah. What about cocktail? What just makes you think Grand Canyon?
Gin and tonic, pretty much.
But, do you have the squeezy lime or do you bring fresh lime?
Yeah, but I've gotten well away from the tonic anymore. That stuff is gnarly.
So gin and like soda?
Gin and soda, yeah.
Yeah.
Any soccer mom.
Yeah.
Any soccer mom will do.
That's awesome. I'm curious, like you've been everything, it sounds like, from trip leader to strong second, just one of the guides, safety sweep, probably kitchen boat when it comes down to the Grand Canyon, head cook. You know, at one point you were a baggage boatman and a swamper. What's your favorite position on a commercial trip?
That
highlights your strength.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoy trip leading at this point. You know? I definitely sat on the bench and watched and learned for quite a long time before I got thrown into the trip leading world. And now, you know, I like the control. I like to move the pieces on the board and, you know, just plan it out and try to make it so that I don't have to work so damn hard all the time.
That. Yeah. Like just, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, just that thought process of trying to be a couple of steps ahead and, you know, especially in Grand Canyon, you know, with the whole camping scene there and, you know, getting into the corridors of tightness, And then, you know, like I said, then selling that shitty camp to the trip of a lifetime, you know.
For that shitty hike.
Or that, yeah, it's like, why are we doing this? Because we got to kill some time.
Yeah.
But, you know, not, so.
So trip leading. What about on a private trip?
Private trip? Oh, deep sweep.
Interesting play of dynamics there.
Yeah, wait, you, somebody else make the lack of decision making. I just want, I'll camp anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep, I got no expectations. Somebody else tell me where to go.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah, I enjoy that as well, but as far as in work and setting, I am a little overbearing at this point and have my idiosyncrasies and, like I said, just trying to relay that not work harder method. You know, let's work smarter, make it easier on ourselves versus struggling.
Yeah.
To carry heavy things up steep slopes.
I've learned my lesson for sure. I'm just like, no, I can do it. And it's like, no, I'll ask for help every time. Because that one day you decide to do it all yourself, your back's screaming.
It lasts a long time.
Yeah, for sure. You have a better half.
Oh, yeah.
Rose. Her name's Rose.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, but you guys met on a Grand Canyon trip.
Yeah,
of course. What year was that?
Well, that was, 2006?
Okay.
2007.
So before you were in Alta, AK?
Yeah, that was kind of, So met her on a river trip. Like I said, you know, you can connect with a lot of people down there and, you know, when you don't get out much as a river guide and that's your only life.
Someone lands in your trip.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, you can, you got a captive audience. But, you know, yeah, when you really connect and then, you know, we spent a couple of years doing the long distance thing and it kind of worked out. But, you know, it takes a special partner to understand not having a cell phone for weeks at a time, not having that connectedness, and then of course knowing that you're in that role of guide extraordinaire down there, you know, Captain Awesome is activated. It's, you know, imaginations can run wild on both ends. So she's been super supportive and, you know, almost to the point where last year is like, she kind of missed me not going away for
telling me that
extended period of time. And so it was a huge shakeup for us on multiple fronts between moving down here in the pandemic and me not having a job all of a sudden, you know, having that bait taken away, that the reward for me. And I tell you what, I mean, even though I haven't worked in the winter for the last decade or so, no matter what I do, I still miss Grand Canyon, which I can't tell you why, or I could tell you why.
Probably should tell me why.
Take too long.
I know, right?
Be a whole nother episode.
Well, your poem that you wrote, I'm going to read at the beginning, because it was, you spoke and wrote so well. Not poem, sorry. It's a post that posted on Facebook, and I was so inspired by it. It's like, wow, Jay, you have a beautiful relationship with the Grand Canyon. And
well, like I said, I've been influenced by a lot of these passengers too. And, I mean, that might be one of my biggest mistakes of guiding in Grand Canyon is losing all these great connections that I've made with some really interesting people from all walks of life. And Stephen Hyde is one of the guys that I did a trip with a couple years ago, who's a contemplative monk in Maine, and man, he'd come out and read poetry to the group every morning, and it was pretty moving. I mean, it was crazy when you allow yourself to be open and honest, the connections you can make with people. You know, when you take away that presumptiveness and all that stuff, it's super cool. And so whatever, so he's influenced me. That's been pretty nice to meet a guy that's way deeper than you could ever be.
Well, that's helped, right? That's helped even because you can captivate an audience, and now you've touched a little deeper in your soul.
Yeah, it shows you what's out there.
Yeah.
And these thought processes that some of us avoid on a daily basis, you know, dwelling into that, your own mortality, and looking at that sort of light. So,
Another, way dark.
Right? Another Grand Canyon, Speaking of, geez.
Yeah.
Go off the deep end real quick here if you really have to.
Well, it's pretty cool just going back to Rose. Like, she met you in the Grand Canyon, so she understands your lifestyle. She supports you. There's no, like, what is your life like down there? And she enjoys, you know, that separation where you can both find balance in what you love. And I'm sure that's helped keep you guys together for 15 years.
Yeah.
And what's something that you want the world to know about her?
Oh, that she's awesome.
She is.
Yep. She's a businesswoman. And she's the funniest person around.
Right? You're like, you think I'm funny.
Yeah, right?
Rose is one of those silent types, but when she speaks.
Oh, yeah. Cracks herself up.
And what's something new you've learned about yourself after you both got together?
That I can change people too.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I don't know. Gluten freedom.
Making
her address your own issues with gluten freedom. But yeah, it's real.
Mm-hmm. And you both eat pretty healthy.
Try to.
Yeah, some degree. Well, you got to balance out the beer bacon and the cocktails.
Been off the bacon for a good couple months now. It's been tough.
Oh.
But no, you know, that's kind of nice being able to eat better, less fried food. That's what basically the pandemic response was. Wow, we haven't gone out to eat more than a half a dozen times in the last year. It's like, okay, well, cooking for yourself ain't too bad.
Yeah, and just when you guys lived with us, I was like, wow, you guys eat pretty well. You're grilling and just lots of veggies and...
Right, try to keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh, finding that balance. So as we start to kind of come to a close, I'm curious, like, what's on the, you know, with your balance, like, with the pandemic kind of stirring up the lifestyle you once lived, what's on the horizon line for you both personally and professionally moving forward?
Well, we'd like to resume traveling.
Yeah.
Here any minute now. So that's the horizon lines. As far as my guiding goals are, I really want to get that 200 trips just to say that I did, you know, to have a nice even number.
How old are you?
45.
Okay, you got
so
five
I got
years.
Plenty of time. Yeah, I got,
so what does that equate to? How many do you have to do?
That's too many to do in 5 years now.
Yeah, 157, right?
Yeah, I was on pace to do 9 a year for another 5 years, and now that I have enough seniority at Azra, I was getting to high grade my schedule and had it all down to Motorin and Dorian, and that's how I knew the world was ending. I said I finally got the schedule I wanted. So I was going to be able to push for it by 50, and now it looks like it's taken a back burner for at least a couple years here while I do the jet boat thing.
Yeah, and speaking of jet boats, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so been doing the 2-hour New Zealand-style jet boat trips here in Moab for... second summer now.
Moab Jet.
Yeah, Moab Jet.
Them in the show notes.
Which, funny enough, those guys were some of the guys I met at Yasny Sport Adventures.
No.
Back in the Dizzy.
Way.
So,
what?
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah. Yeah, they're brothers. They come as a pair. So, so that was the kind of the small world of Moab as I got back to town. And since we were shut down, I was working on my motorboat and working on Riley's motorboat and basically hanging out at the takeout and loitering. And then the pandemic hit, and once they closed down the park with no estimated reopening, and of course you can't run a Grand Canyon operation if the park's not open and if there's no people. And that's basically what it boiled down to last year was, you know, had the option of being on call for Grand Canyon or the option of trying something different. So again, I might have taken my own advice and didn't stay loyal and saw an opportunity to do something a little different and jumped at it. So, yeah. So that's been working out pretty good, you know, honing those skills. And again, Soul Gear and I have been trying to work on doing some accredited motorboat operator class. And so
for our buddy Riley, Eric Riley, Swift Water Safety Institute.
That in the show notes. And so we've been trying to work on that, and so somebody's got to be able to drive a motorboat. So I've kind of taken it upon myself as well as a job to learn how to drive some jet boats and up and down the river at 40 miles an hour, which is a hell of a lot different than running a rowboat, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you have a big smile on your face when they take photos.
Oh, dude, it's hard not to. I tell you what, you hit that spin and you giggle like a schoolgirl all day long.
Yeah, I'll put a link to what we're talking about, what those boats do. But, well, actually, could you just describe it real quick?
Yeah,
why they do that?
Yeah, shallow draft boats with flat bottoms. And so you can spin them. You can run in 4 inches of water. It's a blast. They got 420 horsepower engines in them. It's just ridiculous. 10-seaters.
Oh, my God.
And again, since Utah's unlicensed paradise, yeah, anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm. On the Colorado here.
Yep. But again, mm-hmm. these guys want, 10 years of solid whitewater experience before they'll even consider letting you drive. And so I lucked into it. And
yeah, you put in your time. You
lucked into it. I have the skills and the credentials to pull it off. So
yeah.
So committed to those guys for a few years here. And ideally going to build a solid relationship with those guys so I can hang out and live here in Moab for at least the next, 30 years? Oh, my God.
We could say 50, 55.
So now that Rose and I have committed to Moab, it's nice to have a job here in town. And it's definitely been very different as far as transitioning back into society from the feral lifestyle of Grand Canyon. It's been different. Needless to say, I waited in traffic for the first time in my adult life last summer, and it was very trying.
Yeah, it's interesting uprooting just a full schedule that you were used to. Routine.
Yeah.
And expectations.
Right.
And now you got the opportunity to do stuff with Moab Jet. And tomorrow, if you had to throw in the towel and you could no longer be a guide, a river guide, what craft would you switch to and why? And would you stay on the water?
Ooh. Well, that might be part of
the, I was going to say, yeah.
That might be part of the evolution is that I might, take this boat driving thing seriously mm-hmm. and actually get a real license and drive real boats on the ocean.
Oh, no way.
But if I had to hang up the whole guiding thing or whatnot, I'd like to go into advertising or weather, because those are two, weather, you don't have to be right at all. You can just throw awesome. Predictions out there like a kid, sell it. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day. and advertising again is just selling it. It's like, it's a beautiful day. so it's all verbiage and whatnot. And yeah, had I, do it all over again. I wouldn't, but, right? if I had to go get a real job, those would probably be two I would go seek out, but
I wouldn't have guessed.
But yeah, but as far as, if I had to make do, I don't know, I'd definitely, the way the building and all that stuff goes here in Moab, I probably had to learn a trade real quick just to stay afloat.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, it'd be nice to be a boat builder, maybe.
Yeah, and then shout out to Eddie Line Welding.
Right, Eddie Line Welding,
there,
yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
We've got some good people in town.
Yeah, they got some great dory forms. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to, start switching it up, but for now here, the next 5 years, going to get more experience, going to keep padding the stats, and then hopefully we'll get this boat operator class accredited and certified, and then people from all over the world will show up here in Moab to drive jet boats and sport boats.
That's awesome. And will that be through SSI?
Or who? More than likely SSI for the accreditation.
Okay.
Swiftwater Safety Institute. Mm-hmm. Just because Riley's got such a great base platform mm-hmm. and got the business all set up and everything so that we can make it happen. But yeah, if we can come up with the curriculum and the fleet of boats we need, we could start just a whole different tangent of something really crazy.
That's exciting.
As far as just rallying some boats through a lot of fun water in around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's cool about Riley's business is that you can add on all these little courses. And I'll put Eric in the show notes. I met him my first year at Oars, and he's a solid boatman and turned into an instructor. And boatmen make good instructors.
Yeah.
We know how to speak. Well, and
you got to have that experience making bad decisions to know what to do and what not to do.
So true. Well, as we come to a close, is there anything, like, what are you most excited about this year and moving forward? And
well, I got a Grand Canyon trip coming up here in about 2 weeks, which will be my first time back in over a year. And so I'm super grateful for the opportunity to go back to some place that has shaped me. Whatever that is, roundish, like a rolling rock. But no, Grand Canyon trips, and looking forward to that, and just kind of get some more hours on the jet boat.
Sweet.
And yeah, seeing what happens next.
Yeah, you'll be past me, and I've requested some ice.
yeah, just trying to make it happen, and you know, get back into a routine, and ideally, you know, develop a bit of security here for the future as far as having a schedule and maintaining these relationships that I've developed with all these various tangents of life, you know. So it's nice.
Yeah, it's cool to see the evolution of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and Soul Gear has kind of been a common thread for you.
Yeah, well, you know, him, like I said, him and I have been hanging out since high school, and so we got some good ideas that we've been batting around, and it's just, you know, a matter of seeing, you know, committing, I guess, that C word.
Oh, that C word.
Committing to a direction and, you know, just going all in on an idea and making it happen and, you know, keeping that positive flow. And so hopefully it's going to all work out here.
Yeah. It sounds like it will, just with your determination and your charisma.
Yeah. The Moab 5-year plan.
Yeah. Like, I love it.
Come on, baby. Let's make it happen.
Well, is there anything else you want to share with the audience or draw attention to?
Not that I can think of.
What about some like last words of Jay Healy?
Oh yeah.
Inspiration, motivation.
Stay frosty.
Stay frosty. I like that.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with an ICB here in July.
Yeah. Right. Where can people find you if they're like, who's this guy and where do you want to be seen and where are you on social media or online these days?
Yeah, mostly on Facebook there.
Okay.
Jay Healy, and then of course at Moab Jet.
Okay. You can see his big smile.
Right. Azraft at Azraft.
Okay. Azraft. Definitely do that. And
I got Soul.
Oh yeah, that's right. And then Soul Gear's website. So I'll put those in the show notes. And kind of coming to an end, I always like to ask a question about something the river has taught you or affect how it's affected you. But, you know, when you think about just your 25 years and the person you've become, what would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned from the river over time?
Well, got to go with the flow.
Mm.
You know, I think that's an old D Holiday saying, but, no, you just got to roll with the punches and be adaptable. You know, it's just, there's so many logistics that you got to realize that go into these trips, all the moving pieces. And when, you know, the wheels fall off the truck and it's either put the wheels back on the truck or sit there and pout, you know, you've got to pull yourself up and get the job done no matter what the elements or what's thrown at you. You know, you got to be able to improvise, like when you forget all the kitchen utensils for a marine trip. You know, you can blame it on somebody else, but it's ultimately you got to deal with it, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Willow makes good chopsticks.
Yeah, hey, yeah, exactly.
Or tamarisk, actually.
Right? You can flatten a spoon and turn it into kind of a spatula. Or you can rely on your friends and don't be afraid to ask for a little help every now and then.
Don't be afraid. Get her done. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Be adaptable. Improvise.
Yeah, right.
I like that. And when you think about the person you were growing up and the person that you are now, what trait are you most proud of that you think you got or learned from the river?
Loyalty.
Loyalty. Yeah. Which is kind of bittersweet, you said.
Yeah.
But then by it being bitter, it could have gone one way, but by it being sweet, you developed a family,
right,
at Moki Mac.
Oh yeah,
people that you could call, shoot the shit with, or be like, "Hey, I need you."
Oh yeah,
would any of those come to your rescue if you needed them?
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you only have a sister, so that's family for you.
Well, and And well, now I'm, a thousand miles further away, you know. And so being outside of Montana, you know, you got to rely on your friends. So, yeah, the Moki Mac family.
I like that. Well, Jay, thanks so much for coming on and just talking with me and shooting the shit. And I just want to take a second to acknowledge you. I mean, I wish I could speak as good as you, you know, and the stories and just you have a really strong vocabulary and you captivate people around you. You know, they want to hear you. You're all obviously tall, so that helps. But you just, you have charisma, and I've said these words, you know, throughout our interview, but you're fun to talk to. You have a great voice. You speak well. You have a heart, and you also speak, you know, a little, your soul comes out a little bit, and you have a passion for the water. You have respect for not only the water, but people around you, and you're a good listener and you're a good leader. And I definitely could and will learn more from you, hopefully.
Well, thanks, Allie.
Our friendship.
Yeah, thanks for the
really
opportunity.
It's really nice to know you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and I'm stoked you're going to be living here, and
yeah,
we can develop more of a relationship and
totally.
See you on the Grand Canyon. And
yeah.
And it's cool to think, you know, going back to the post that you had, like you, it's to me, when I read that, it's a friend. It's like a deep, it's someone who knows you more than yourself is the Grand Canyon, right. Those rapids. And they've shaped you into, like you said, a round rock, a round stone. But,
yeah.
You know, I see when
fresh
I read that,
old.
I mean, I read that post and I, so for those listening, I reached out to Jay and I was like, man, I got to get you on. Like, you speak so well. I want to know more about you. I want to know your history. And that post was just so beautiful. And it was just really cool to see your relationship to the water, to the Grand Canyon, to a canyon. And, you know, it's your lover. It's your best friend. It's your teacher. It's everything, right?
Yeah.
All in one.
Right.
And
the last best place.
I like that. And, if the Grand Canyon was a human, what would you want to tell it?
Ooh. that's an interesting question there. What would I tell the Grand Canyon? Good luck. I mean, good to make it another year, bud. Good luck. God. Yeah, how can you be so old and unchanged? You know, I guess that's what I would ask. But yeah, I don't know. You know, stay beautiful. Keep, keep doing what you're doing. Stay wild.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Stay wild.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to ruin it here shortly, just like everything.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear just some words of advice from Mr. Jay Healy. Of those, you know, we've gone through a pandemic. We're kind of going back into the world. Anything you learned that you're like, hey, everyone, don't forget this.
Empathy. You know, just remember everybody's struggling somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
And try not to get too caught up in that. You know, you got to show it. You got to respect it, help people out.
Yeah.
You know, try to get that good time going.
Good time going with Mr. Jay Healy. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
And my pleasure, Natalie.
Yeah, good runs downstream.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Black side down. Or what do you say with the motor? Because that's
when,
tricks are
when
not
in doubt,
black side.
Pull it out.
What do you say?
When in doubt, pull it out. You know, geez, keep the lower unit on. You only get one spare.
When in doubt, pull it out, everyone.
When in doubt, pull it out. Referring to an outboard motor.
Yeah.
Enhance rapid. Stay off the rocks. That's
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see you downstream.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, clean
it's
runs.
Be good times.
Thanks
Can't
again for coming on.
My pleasure.
Sweet.
Well, that's our show. Thank you so much for joining me in this conversation with Jay Healy. If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, make sure and share this link with someone you think would benefit from it too. And a quick reminder to subscribe to Eddie Out on social, as well as giving us that 5-star rating and review. I'm very grateful for you taking the time to listen in with me today. And until next time, big hits, big fun, good health, and high water. Cheers.